I am the best wrestler in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day because Paul Heyman saw something in me that nobody else wanted to admit. I've grabbed so many of Vincent K. McMahon's imaginary brass rings that it's finally dawned on me that they're just that. They're completely imaginary. The only thing that's real is me, and the fact that day in and day out, for almost 6 years, I have proved to everybody in the world that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even in commentary. Nobody can touch me.
And your wrestling messiah here with a brand new episode of CM Jew's Wrestling Reviews. This is episode 91. And on this episode, we cover the epicness that was New Japan Pro Wrestling's Dominion. That, of course, means we're tackling the Young Bucks going for the IWGP Tag Team titles against Evil and Sonata. That means Hiromu Tanahashi taking on Will Ospreay for the Junior Heavyweight, IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. And, of course, Rey Mysterio, Jushin Thunder Liger, Hiroshi Tanahashi versus the Bullet Club members of Cody. Cody. Hangman Page and the villain Marty Scurll. I blanked on a name for a second. And of course, last but not least, Kenny Omega versus Kazuchika Okada for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship in a 2 out of 3 falls match with no time limit. All of that and more on this episode, though more is really misleading. It's not really more. We're really just covering it because there's so much to cover with this event, and there's so much to talk about. The event, of course, happened while I was at Anime Next, and I spent the better part of the next week, of course, that week leading up to Money in the Bank and all the other stuff, but yeah, it's just, a lot happened over the past week, or at least past 2 weeks, from Anime Next. Tons of stuff. Some personal issues that, I was getting stuff out of from Anime Next, so that was my main focus, and so that was really the first part. Then some personal issues came up. Although I do want to sit here and say this, because I'm hoping to get this out by tonight, which is a Friday. So, may not hear. And even if I don't get it out in time for their next show, I do want to plug a promotion. They're called Cosplay Pro Wrestling. You can find them by searching Cosplay Pro Wrestling on YouTube. I believe I have a card here. Is it that I do? Cosplay Pro Wrestling, which you can find also on Facebook by facebook.com/cosplayprowrestling. And then their Twitter is @cosplaypw. Find them on Instagram @cosplayprowrestling as well. I know this weekend, as of this recording, they are going to be at Too Many Games in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. But follow them and see if they're coming to a convention near you. They are awesome. I did some videos. Not videos for them, but like I captured at least their ring entrances, and it was awesome. And it was just an awesome 2 hours in the middle of Anime Next, as Saturday that we covered. My friend Charles Zumbara got to be part of one of the entrances, one of the matches for that matter. That was cool. And, you know, just a really great bunch of guys who, and girls, mind you, who actually do have training in wrestling. Some of them have trained over at the, I guess, with CZW. I believe one of the females said that she trained when Drew Gulak was there. Some have trained with Chikara. In fact, the person who plays Giovanni, I believe he said that he does commentating for Chikara, maybe from time to time. I can't verify that because I need to ask T-Dub that. And unfortunately, I haven't been able to see T-Dub the past 2 weeks because Tuesday after Anime Next, work got in the way and there was no Rift Down. And then this past Tuesday, a business matter happened and I couldn't be on Rift Down. I'm sorry, it's very hot and I have to drink water. by the way, that business matter is actually another podcast that you will be hearing in a couple days. Little peek behind the curtain. So, I do have to confirm that, but I cannot enough, more than enough, suggest going to see Cosplay Pro Wrestling. Really great bunch of people, hardworking, put on a great show. You will have a good time. If you can enjoy funny comedy style wrestling, you'll enjoy it. And mind you, they're good wrestlers as well. I don't, you know, don't go in expecting WWE, but it doesn't mean you're not going to get a good show and good matches. All the matches were very enjoyable. Of course, it helps that they're in probably one of the best areas to have a wrestling promotion because the wrestling fans in this area are pretty damn good, except for Roman Reigns matches. But that's a whole different story. I suggest you check out the next episode where I talk about this in detail when I cover Money in the Bank. So, but I just wanted to, you know, give props and suggest and give a whole lot of patronage, hopefully, to Cosplay Pro Wrestling. Very good promotion. If you can, check them out. And check out their YouTube channel. Really, they're a really good bunch of funny guys. And really open and really just, it was one of my favorite parts of Anime Next. So, by the way, if you're a anime convention or pop culture convention and person who's in charge of pop culture conventions, book them, please. Please book them. Now that I've got the non-paid promotion of other people who have out of the way, not that I don't mind doing it, I have this habit. I have a shovel. I find myself with a shovel in my hand and in some middle of a hole. And I don't know how to get out of that one because of the language I used. Common theme of my life. But today, of course, we are covering New Japan Pro Wrestling's Dominion. And like I said, took me a week to watch it, but finally ready. And I say, let's get right into it, shall we? Because I really have nothing else to cover. I know there's a whole bunch of news to go over, but I want to wait to cover that because I have a special guest coming on for that Money in the Bank review, and I want to cover most of it with him. So I'm waiting on news to do that. And also because I know I'm going to be going on and on about the Omega Okada match, so we should just really get right into it. And, so New Japan Pro Wrestling presents Dominion 2018. This took place on June 9th, 2018. It was sponsored by Hoken Murashi Hoporopo. And I believe also Fire Pro Wrestling World, or Firefly Pro Wrestling. Or at least in the junior heavyweight match they did. It took place at Osaka J Hall in Osaka, Japan, to an attendance of 11,832. Your English commentating team was Kevin Kelly and Don Callis. Ladies and gentlemen, this is New Japan Pro Wrestling Dominion 2018. Being for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship, Suzuki-Gun, that being El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemaru, defending against Roppongi 3K, that being Sho and Yo. And this was a very good opening match. Not great, more than decent, to say the least. I think Sho and Yo definitely have improved a lot. I think being in the junior, best of the super juniors as singles competitors actually allowed them to open up their arsenal and their move list, shall I say, and gave them more depth in the ring, because past matches, they were moving a lot like attack. There was a lot of just strikes and some tandem move, but nothing that really made each of them stand out to me. And mind you, there were some good moves, but nothing that stood out. But being single competitors for that tournament allowed them to open up their playbook. So, like, now when they are, like, on their own and they get the hot tag and they're by themselves, they have this variety of moves now that they can pick from that makes them stand out more. So I think one thing this match really shows is that they definitely improved. I also really loved the storyline throughout the entire match, which was, you know, Kanemaru and Desperado are known, again, being Suzuki-Gun, are known for, as they call it, dirty style. Sneaky style, shall we say. And so the entire match, there were points to where Suzuki-Gun was trying to, you know, use a sneaky tactic to get one up on Punji 3K, and they kept dodging it. And throughout the entire match, they would dodge and dodge and dodge. But it came down to them not being able to dodge one more that ended up leading to Suzuki-Gun getting the win. And I really like that sort of storyline there, to where, again, all throughout the match, yeah, they've learned. But again, you know, just because they've learned a lot doesn't mean they know everything that this Suzuki-Gun knows, and they're able to get the win. And again, it's a very good opening contest, a lot of energy to it. Nothing really stood out. Great selling, I believe it was by, I want to say it was Sho, because I believe Sho was the one who was in the ring for the majority of the, as far as getting the punishment from Suzuki Gun, and then Yo got the hot tag. I could be wrong about that. I apologize if I am. Again, it's been over a week actually since I seen Dominion, but yeah. So, but no, I thought it was a very good opener. Our next match features two members of Taguchi Japan, that being Juice Robinson and David Finlay, facing off against the Chaos team of Jay White and Yoshihashi. What do I say about this match? There's not a lot. The match wasn't bad. But it wasn't, I don't want to say good, not good, but it wasn't interesting. It's like, the match was mostly there to set up Juice Robinson ultimately wanting to challenge Jay White for the IWGP United States title, which I'm sure is going to happen. I don't know if it's been announced, but I wouldn't be surprised if it happens at the G1 special in the USA that's coming up next month. I say next month because we're technically still in June, and next month is July when it happens. Continuity. But, I do enjoy these wrestlers, but it's like there was nothing felt on the line, and nothing felt important other than, I mean, you knew that Juice Robinson was going to pick up the win, and again, they were building towards that, but that wasn't the problem, but it's just like, it just felt very by the numbers. And even when you have very talented wrestlers, if the match just goes by the numbers, if it's missing that spark, you know, it just feels very pedestrian. And the match itself just felt very pedestrian. You know, that other than, you know, feeling bad for Yoshihashi for having to babysit Jay White, but that's a whole different story. But no, it just felt very pedestrian, and just felt not interesting. Like, it felt like if I missed this match, nothing was lost from it, you know? Like, I could completely skip this match and not miss anything. And unfortunately, I think the same thing can be said for the next match as well, which is another tag team match. By the way, before I forget, the opening match went 9 minutes 29 seconds, that being Suzuki Gun versus Roppongi 3K for the titles. The Taguchi Japan versus Chaos tag match went 7 minutes 26 seconds. And our next match is Suzuki Gun of Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. Facing off against the Chaos team of Tomohiro Ishii and Toru Yano. And by the way, it went 8 minutes and 42 seconds. And again, like I said, it's like, again, the wrestlers in it are good, and I enjoy watching Zack Sabre Jr., and I enjoy watching Minoru Suzuki, and Ishii, and Yano. But that's really all where the joy comes from. It's like, I just enjoy these wrestlers. But the match itself, like, this match could have happened on one of their, you know, weekly, or bi-weekly show that they hold in Corrigan Hall, you know? Like, there's nothing, and this is one of the things I do when I review these is, you know, if I wasn't getting the WWE Network, or in this case, paying $9.99, a month for New Japan World, if I was buying this pay-per-view old school style, would this match make me feel satisfied? And the truth is it doesn't. Now, obviously, one or two matches doesn't ruin a pay-per-view. Like, it's, you know, again, there's something just there for these wrestlers to have a match on there to continue their storyline, and because they're important wrestlers. You know, i.e. Roman Reigns versus Jinder Mahal at Money in the Bank. It's going to be very much like this. But the difference is that Roman Reigns and Jinder Mahal actually had... Sorry, I had to drink there. A very interesting story where both wrestlers were right. There was investment in it. And, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, the Chicago crowd being complete asshats and ruining it for those trying to enjoy it, it would have been a very enjoyable and fun match. Again, I don't want to get too much into that because I'll get into that next episode. And while I enjoy Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. and Tomohiro Ishii and Toru Yano, there just didn't feel any importance in this match. It didn't feel like anything was gained. I know they tried to... Kevin Kelly and Don Callis tried to throw in the fact that they're... Well, I think both of them were competing for... I believe it was Red Pro Wrestling's tag titles or something like that. But again, because I don't have any knowledge of that, or they passed it off, even though they were saying that they were competing for these titles, they passed it off like it was just, it's just some, like, quasi-battle that's not really important. And I don't think they were trying to do that, it's just how it came off. It just, overall, and then, like I said, past two tag matches, it's not that they're bad, and it's not that they're not even good, because two, for the most part, they are kind of good. I mean, or at least the Taguchi Japan Chaos match was good. This was just a straight-up beatdown, and while it is enjoyable to see Suzuki and Sabre Jr. beat down people, it just, like, it didn't feel like, you know, this had to be on the map. Like, honestly, if you could do matches like this, I would have rather have just seen a singles match. Like, maybe have Suzuki versus Tomohiro Ishii, and, you know, Juice Robinson versus Yoshihashi, with the winner getting a shot at the United States title, you know, in America. Like, that puts some vested interest in there, and you put those guys on the pay-per-view. And again, like I said, matches weren't bad, they just weren't interesting, and I felt like I could skip over them. The next match was a three-way match for the Never Openweight Championship, and it was Hiroki Goto, the Never Openweight Champion, he's been there for 6 months, defending against Michael Elgin and Taichi. And to the dismay of many independent wrestling fans who have said F Michael Elgin for his comments, New Japan Pro Wrestling said they don't give an F, and Michael Elgin won. So, pushing aside the politics of this, I didn't enjoy the match. Like, again, putting away politics, I do generally enjoy Michael Elgin's style. I enjoy Goto's style. And Taichi's hit and miss for me. I mean, I love his entrance, and anybody that has a beautiful woman with them, you know, of course I'm going to enjoy the beautiful woman. I'm a guy. I feel things. But no, it's just the win was big, and but it also didn't feel important. I guess that's what I'm going for. It's like a title changing hands should feel more important than it felt here. I don't know how to describe it. It's just like it, and maybe the word I used before, pedestrian. It felt very pedestrian, like. And that sort of has, again, I go back to the whole point of, like, there's really no storyline in the match. Like, yes, there's a storyline of them competing for the title, but it's like, you know, Goto and Elgin have faced off before, so what have they learned from their past matches? Callbacks, things like that. I mean, all this stuff I'm talking about is stuff, mind you, we will see later. But, like, just... Yeah, you want to see counters and callbacks and... I mean, there's great feats of strength here, but... And I did like the sort of whole powerbomb. I believe it was Elgin throwing Goto into Tai Chi, which then I believe set Tai Chi up for the super spinning powerbomb for the win. But, yeah, it's just like there's something that it just didn't feel big, you know? Whew. It's getting really hot in here. It's getting hot in here. I won't take off all my clothes, I promise. It's getting hot here and I'm getting tired. It's summer, folks. The humidity is high. I'm drinking a lot. Up water. But no, it's... I mean, I don't know what to say. Like, I mean, I feel bad. I felt like there was a good effort put in the match. I felt... And there were some good spots here and there, but it's just, again, the match felt very pedestrian to me. And I believe that's actually where they took their break. And after which, our first match back for the... by the way, that title match went 13 minutes, 46 seconds. Our next match, though, is for, like I said, for the IWGP Tag Team Championships. Evil and Sonata of Los Ingobernables de Japón defended their titles against Matt and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks. Now, this was a very enjoyable match. I think they showed off Evil and Sonata as powerhouses. That they haven't been shown in a while, mostly because they've been sort of shown as underdogs going against up against Killer Elite. Here, they were the more powerful team going up against the recently, against the tag team that had recently risen in weight class in the Young Bucks. And then also, again, the Young Bucks doing something that I extremely well. That's the selling of sort of past injuries. And that leading to being integrated into the storyline of the match. And again, this is what I'm talking about not being pedestrian. You know, again, you pass injuries, stuff that people would know. Being, you know, and even if it wasn't past injuries, even if it was just an injury that happened during the match, that injury becomes part of the storyline of the Young Bucks trying to hang on, trying to hang on. And then that hot tag. And then the build up to the wind. Again, I believe it was Nick, who's back, constantly kept giving out. But finally hitting the more bang for your buck for the win. And, you know, again, it had a great feel to it. Because here was the Young Bucks, they were these legendary junior heavyweight tag team title champions. And now being able to move up weight class and become tag team champions, it felt like a great accomplishment. There was a lot to it. And by the way, Don Callis was great on the call here. And of course, the other news thing is that, you know, afterwards, Young Bucks invite Don Callis to be part of All In. Can't forget that. But no, it was a really good match. I wouldn't mind seeing a rematch between these two teams for the title, to be honest. Sonata and Evil were both equally good. They weren't... And I love the fact that they played sort of tweeners in this match. They weren't bad guys, but they weren't good guys. They were just guys. They were, like, they were the champion team. They were the overall pick, and that's how they played themselves. But they... And, you know, again, they were Los Ingobernables, they're just that damn cool. And of course, I always love Evil's entrance as well. Our next match is a 6-man tag. By the way, that went 15 minutes and 3 seconds. Our next match is a six-man tag match as the legendary team of Hiroshi Tanahashi, Jushin Thunder Liger, and Rey Mysterio Jr. Faced off against the Bullet Club team of Cody, Hangman Page, and Marty Skrull. Now, I kind of do have a bone to pick, and maybe I'm wrong about this. So, if there's anybody listening to this, please feel free to correct me. To my knowledge, this isn't the first time Rey has been in Japan. Or I know it's not the first time he's been in Japan, but I specifically remember Rey Mysterio Jr. being part of a sort of Super Junior tournament in the 90s. In fact, I know one of the matches he had was against Ultimo Dragon. I believe he had one. I remember it because it had one of my favorite Rey Mysterio gears Rey Mysterio had on. And that was a Spider-Man themed gear. I believe one match he faced off against, I want to say it was Psychosis. And then the next match he faced off against Ultimo Dragon. And I know it took place in Japan because it's part of a Japanese junior heavyweight tournament. I just can't remember. I want to say this is part of New Japan Pro Wrestling, or it is part of a interpromotional tournament that featured New Japan Pro Wrestling along with other promotions. So, either way, I mean, because like even if it's a bunch of promotions together, it still qualifies, as far as I'm concerned, for having worked with New Japan Pro Wrestling. You know, if WWE was to get together with TNA, with Impact, and Lucha Underground and Ring of Honor to put on a tournament for a single day, as far as I'm concerned, that would be somebody having to have worked for all of those companies because it worked part of that larger tournament. So, and I could be wrong on this, but so do correct me if I'm wrong. But so because of that, I think the statement that's made that this is the first time Rey Mysterio has worked for New Japan, been in a New Japan Pro Wrestling ring at least, is kind of misleading in that regard. It may be the first time he ever had a singles match at a New Japan Pro Wrestling promotion pay-per-view or event, where it's just New Japan Pro Wrestling, but he has wrestled for New Japan Pro Wrestling before. Just not in a solely owned ring by New Japan Pro Wrestling, if that makes any sense. So, this was in a special attraction match. And, you know, again, Rey Mysterio looked awesome. Like, he looks like he can compete for the IWGP heavyweight title. Looks like he can compete for the WWE title. And yes, I do want to see that. I do want to see Rey Mysterio versus AJ Styles, even though I'm pulling for Rusev in the next pay-per-view. But, yeah. It's just, and I love watching Hiroshi Tanahashi. Marty Skrull is always fun to watch. Hangman Page is improving. Cody is a great villain. Liger is a legend, but this match, by the way, went 11 minutes, 35 seconds. Everybody felt like they got a part in. It's just, and maybe if the outcome was different, I would feel differently. You know, I would have that sort of good time feeling. But it just, again, this is not a case of being pedestrian. This is just a case of, it felt special and it was good. It just wasn't anything other than good. I want to call things great. And I think that's one of my personal issues, is I desperately want to call things great. But this wasn't, especially compared to the next three matches, this wasn't great. This was just good. And it was just a fun sort of six-man tag match where, you know, Rey Mysterio got the team with Juice and Thunder Liger, three legends against Bullet Club. And like I said, I would have liked to have seen the legends go over in this case. You know, I don't think it would hurt the Bullet Club if they did, especially with what would happen later on at night. You know, if you're going to have Rey Mysterio possibly only for one match, because as far as we know, he may only be here for one match, I think you kind of want him going over, you know, and him picking up the win. So, but speaking of junior heavyweights, our next match is for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. Hiromu Tanahashi versus Will Ospreay, the champion. And my God, did I love this match. Just back and forth, great counters throughout the match, so much energy. Hiromu really showing a new facet of his workmanship skill by adding in the sort of submission wrestling that he is. You know, this is a man who's gone a long way from me saying that he's the worst independent wrestler of, I think it was 2015. Though, mind you, again, to my fairness, the only match I ever saw him in was the PWG, Battle for LA match that he had. But yeah, Will Ospreay is just magnificent, just such, you know, he has such skill, and it's a beauty to watch him work. And again, great, they went back and forth throughout the match, told great stories. Hiromu working constantly on Ospreay's neck, which has been severely injured, and in fact, it's why he's taking time off to heal from those injuries. Will Ospreay just trying to outlast him because, of course, you know, Tanahashi had gone through the entire Super Juniors tournament. And then that just build up to that end of counter after counter into ultimately the ticking time bomb for the win. Yeah, you think he's going to get it with submission, he doesn't. You think Ospreay is going to be able to hit the Stormbringer, doesn't. Instead, countered into the buckle, sets up ticking time bomb. Just, again, the build towards that end with all of the false finishes. I would say that this match had just as much, if not more, energy than the main event, which had a fair ton of energy in it. And the match just never slowed down. And just great technique throughout the entire match. Really great match. That brings us to probably the most shocking match of the night for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship, Chris Jericho versus Tetsuya Naito. And again, just the sort of brilliant way of, you know, Jericho playing the heel, attacking Naito from behind when Naito was just being Naito and not looking, and him taking advantage of that, beating the high holy hell out of him for 10 minutes before the bell. Or at least for 5 minutes, and then to continue to beat him in the ring. Then, again, just great storytelling here of, you know, and I think Jericho talked about it in talking about the Kenny Omega match. Is like, you know, he wanted to make a no disqualification, so, you know, get all of those stuff out of the way. You know, wouldn't have to worry, because again, to him, it would make sense for him to be disqualified. And so him attacking before the bell, so they could do all that stuff without having to be disqualified. Very genius on him. Of course, ultimately, the referee would allow Naito to do it back. Naito is just glorious. By the way, great ring entrance, great ring gear. I think best of the night. And it had, again, well, sort of the first part was Jericho in charge. Second part was Naito in charge. And then the back and forth build. And then really that surprise ending to where, like, the... where Naito went for something off the ropes and Jericho caught him with a codebreaker. And then another codebreaker. And Jericho ends up being your IWGP Intercontinental Champion. Which I don't think anybody expected at all. At all. And it's just, wow. It's like, it really, like, I can't believe that happened. And it was such a, like, it's one of those very rare moments now in wrestling to where you can honestly feel shocked. Like, I mean, I didn't feel as shocked as I could have. Unfortunately, because I was kind of spoiled about what had happened while it was at Anime Next. Unfortunately, I stupidly looked at Twitter. I was like, what's at the top of Twitter? You know, and mind you, this being the morning, the very recently after... the event had ended, not really thinking about it, because I was thinking it happened earlier in the morning, and so it had been a couple hours, so I just would have seen, like, news. Instead, I saw all my friends talking about New Japan Pro Wrestling and what had happened, including Jericho winning the Intercontinental title. Stupid me. So, not as shocked as I would have been if I had not known what had happened. But, yeah, still just, it was a very good match, very entertaining, and had a great storyline throughout the entire, really, Naito and Jericho's personalities really play off each other really well, and of course, Jericho picking up the shocking win and becoming your new IWGP Intercontinental title. Or Intercontinental Champion, excuse me, just was the piece of resistance to top off a really great match. And that brings us to our final match of the evening, as Kenny Omega with his Golden Lover partner, Kota Ibushi, in his corner, takes on the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, Kazuchika Okada, with, you know, his manager Gato, in a 2 out of 3 falls match with no time limit. So let's just get this right out of the way. I agree with everybody. Match of the year candidate, possibly match of the year. It's going to be hard to top. Absolutely amazing, fantastic match. If you want to see how the 2 out of 3 falls match should be done, if you want to see how a match with no time limit should be done, these are both textbook examples that should be taught to up-and-coming wrestlers. They should have to watch this match and learn from it. I know that doesn't make people like Jim Cornette happy, but, you know, it was just textbook, classic, absolutely wonderful, great, amazing, so much energy, and ultimately, I say all these things because the biggest compliment I can say is that this match was so smartly done. They made this match smartly as far as how they booked it. You know, one of the things that I criticized Okada Omega 1 and 2 for was, again, that I felt like they lost a lot of energy in the middle. Like, there was a point where they slowed it down so much that they lost energy. And while they were able to get some of it, if not most of it, back building up towards the ending, again, that was still lost. And there's that middle part that it's like, you have these two very long matches, and I feel like for 20 minutes in the middle, I can just fast forward through it, and I've not missed anything. again, going to that very pedestrian, very uninteresting aspect that, you know, I brought up in other matches. Here, you know, they knew they wanted to do another hour-long epic. What they did so smartly was make it a 2 out of 3 falls match with no time limit. So, of course, you didn't know the time limit, but you knew they were going to go an hour. And so, you know, the first fall had all of the sort of the classic build-up. But again, ended in just a little under, if not a little over, 30 minutes. And then the next two falls happened within 15 minutes. So you split up the match into segments, and it allows for the energy to carry throughout the match. I mean, you include the sort of 2 minutes in between falls to give breathers to the wrestlers and also give breathers to the crowd. But at the same time, the energy is low. In fact, it's only intensified because in those breathe down moments, those moments are like tense music in a horror movie. Like, they just keep the energy up. And I thought they wrestled so very smartly. It was just counter after counter after counter. You know, really the story of, in the first fall of, no matter how good Omega is, no matter how much he's dominating Okada, ultimately Okada finds a way. Okada is like the Jurassic dinosaurs of Jurassic Park. Okada finds a way. You know, in that sort of, I believe it was a countering of One Winged Angel with a Hurricane Rana into a pinning combination to get the win. And that's another thing, is that even though Okada would hit the Rainmaker clothesline throughout the match, every time he hit it, he couldn't follow it up and get the pin. You know, so they protected his finisher. And again, also protected Omega's finisher, because he hit it twice, and maybe there was one time he hit it, but he couldn't make the cover. But the two times he hit it, he got pinfalls, which gave him the win. And so, again, giving Okada the first fall, like, okay, now the pressure. Omega now has to beat Okada twice to win in a row. Like, it can't be done. And making him the ultimate underdog, and then building up, building up, building up. And again, I've said this before, I think another thing that's textbook. Wrestling students should have to watch Okada versus Omega, in particular this match, to see how you build towards a finish. Because that is something to do so extremely well. I mean, pretty much perfection in the way they do it. And the way they just built it with counter after counter, false finish, hitting the finishing move, but not being able to get the pin because they're so tired, exhausted. The selling was absolutely magnificent throughout this match. Again, just like all those criticisms I had of the first two matches, gone. Because, you know, there's time to breathe for you as a viewer to breathe, but all the energy is there, and it just builds, and the energy built and built and built towards the climax throughout the entire match instead of dissipating and going away. Just absolutely amazing. And that final One Winged Angel just looked amazing. And just the outpouring of emotion after the match when Omega got the win. Like, finally, Okada has been conquered. I was about to do something really awful and call him the Brock Lesnar of New Japan Pro Wrestling. But then again, that's not fair to Okada. though, again, the reports are they do want to have Okada break as many, if all, records involving the World Heavyweight title as they possibly can. Which might mean, you know, you might be seeing Okada win the belt. Well, he's got 6 times so far, another 11 times. I just hope you're ready for it. But no, it was a great match. the emotion afterwards with, you know, the Young Bucks coming down and the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and Ibushi all hugging. That was great. Don Callis was magnificent throughout this entire match. So was Kevin Kelly, but in particular Don Callis. And then, of course, Cody coming down and, like, Callis calling him awful for trying to interrupt this very tender moment. You know, just great storytelling all throughout it. This is a match of the year candidate. And a lot of people are probably going to pick this to be match of the year. It at best, this is pretty much damn perfection. Now, I'm not a whore like Dave Meltzer, who hoes himself out to the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega by his own permission, mind you, and gonna give it 7 stars. You know, yes, I get it. People get it's all about emotion and everything, but you know what? I actually stick to my rating system. You've never heard me give John Cena a 7-star or 6-star match. No. 5-star match. This is a 5-star match. But I will add this. This is about as close to perfection as you can possibly get. This will be up there. Up there with some of the other greatest matches of all time. And it deserves it. It really is that good. It may not make my personally top 10 greatest matches of all time, but then again, those type of lists are always subjective. But, you know, it deserves to be talked, at the very least, talked about in consideration as one of the greatest matches of all time. Again, it's something like you read that on Twitter and like, you can't, you know, that has to be hyperbole. It's not here. It really is that good. And again, even though it's an hour-long match, it's something I would enjoyably watch again. Just, Okada and Omega did an absolutely amazing job. Mind you, I don't think this will be the last match between the two, but as far as this storyline that sort of started a year and a half ago, at, was it Wrestle Kingdom 11, I believe, when it was Okada Omega 1, like, this finally capped off that storyline. Because in a way, this is the rubber match. Because as they put it, the first match went to Okada. The second match was a draw. The third match at the G1 last year went to Omega. And so this is sort of the rubber match finally. And they paid it off big time. So, that is New Japan Pro Wrestling Dominion. Let's talk about it. First, top 3 moments. All of them are about, basically, title wins. So, number 3, Hiromu Tanahashi finally winning back the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. That was such a great moment. I have been waiting for that for over a year since he lost it. For him to get it back, you know, and the fact that, you know, Will Ospreay was ducking him. Not really ducking him, but I'll call it ducking him. Number 2, Jericho winning the Intercontinental Championship. Such a shocking moment. Nobody could have ever expected that. But of course, number 1, not just that Kenny Omega winning the title, but in particular, the moment where he's hugging the Young Bucks and Kota Ibushi, and they're all hugging together, enjoying the moment. Just such a great wrestling moment. And if you remember that sort of YouTube video that was done, I can't remember the name of the YouTuber, and I apologize, but sort of did it on storytelling and wrestling, and he used Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi's story as an example at the end. Like, this is almost a perfect... Well, at least for this chapter, it's the perfect way to end it. Now, of course, Okada versus... not Okada, but you're going to have Omega versus Ibushi in the G1. And my prediction is that Ibushi is going to win that match, and he's going to ultimately win the G1 tournament. And I think they're going to set up Ibushi versus Omega at Wrestle Kingdom. I believe it's 13, right? It'll be Wrestle Kingdom 13. That's my prediction of what they're going to do. And it might be that we're, you know, I mean, we don't know what we know that WWE is going to be very heavily going after the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega when their contracts are up. So there's so much to see. We're going to see what happens, but just a great moment. So before I forget, top three matches. Number three, Jericho versus Naito for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship. Number two, Hiromu Tanahashi versus Will Ospreay for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. And, of course, number one, Kenny Omega versus Kazuchika Okada for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship in a 2 out of 3 falls match with no time limit. Final thoughts on Dominion. Here's the thing about a pay-per-view. As great as a main event be, and a great main event pretty much guarantees over 3.5 to 4 stars a lot of times for me. And it does here. And there was other great matches. But if I had to talk about this, I would say skip the first 4 and just start at number 5. Unfortunately, an entire pay-per-view, when you're judging it, you can't do that. The fact of the matter is, the very first half of the pay-per-view, outside of a very good opening match between Suzuki Gunn and Roppongi 3K, the rest of the first half of the pay-per-view was very lackluster and pedestrian. And it didn't feel important. And the thing is, for this to be such an epic pay-per-view, it needs to be that. It needs to have epic matches all throughout the pay-per-view, so you don't feel tired. And those matches just drag it down. And I mean, I can't give it anything lower than a 4.5, but because of those matches, I can't give it a 5 out of 5. It's an absolutely terrific back end of the pay-per-view, but the front end can honestly just all be skipped. Because they're very pedestrian. Which is very hard to say about a New Japan match, but they just feel very pedestrian. There just feels like there's no stakes in any of them outside of the title match. Or at least, not even that much, but at least the junior heavyweight tag title match. Because they actually had a storyline in the match. The others didn't have really anything. And even with Elgin winning the belt, putting aside politics, that even felt pedestrian. And so it's just, yeah. 4.5 out of 5, an absolutely tremendous pay-per-view. You should watch it. But I would also suggest, honestly, just going to the Young Bucks versus Evil and Sonata tag match and starting from there. And because of that, I don't think this pay-per-view is better than NXT TakeOver Chicago. And I would talk more about that, but then you wouldn't listen to the next episode. So that is it for this episode of CMG's Wrestling Reviews. Remember, you can find us on Facebook by searching for the Absolution Network. You can find us on YouTube by searching Mattis Lienhart, though that may change the Absolution Network. But like and subscribe us at Mattis Lienhart on YouTube. Of course, you can email us at absolutionnetwork132@gmail.com. That's absolutionnetwork132@gmail.com. Of course, the website is www.an.132productions.com. Of course, remember to check out Shin Tiger Curl and his videos. And that is it for this episode. As you can pretty much guess, next episode, I'm going to be covering both NXT TakeOver Chicago and WWE Money in the Bank. And needless to say, last weekend, WWE was money. And when you're covering two pay-per-views that are absolute money, you need a money guest. So joining me next time will be, from the WrestleCast, Matty J. But until next time, wrestling fans, remember that I am the most glorious Jew that ever lived. And your wrestling messiah. Why? Because I'm CM Jew. Recognize?
You're all that I have and you're all that I need. Each and every day I pray to get to know you. Please wanna be close to you. Yes, I'm so hungry. You're like water for my soul when it gets thirsty. Without you, there's no me or the air that I breathe. Sometimes the world is dark and I just can't see. With these demons around all around, I bring me down to negative vibes. But I believe, yes, I believe, I said I believe. Stand on one's feet, one be brought down on one knee. I fight with all of my might to get these demons to flee. Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in, I believe. Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in, I believe. Out of darkness comes light, twilight unto the heights. Crown lights burning up, out of the twilight. So thank you to my God, now I finally got it right. And I fight with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my mind. I give myself to you from the essence of my being and I sing to my God. Songs of love and healing, I want Mashiach now. Time it starts a feeling. What's this feeling? My love will be falling and ceiling. I give myself to you from the essence of my being and I sing to my God. Songs of love and healing, I want.